Chapelboro.com. Go there quick and stay a while. Chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. Now News Talk 1360 WCHL presents Side Dish, hosted by Deborah Miller. Tune in for 30 minutes of tasty talk with culinary aficionados, wine connoisseurs, and more. Side Dish is locally produced by News Talk 1360 WCHL. Now let's get to the tasty talk with Deborah Miller.
Welcome to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller, and I am lucky to have around my table today Mary Margaret McCamick. And Mary Margaret, you and I used to work together at A Southern Season.
We did.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here. Now, you're a woman of many talents. You also are an instructor at the Chef's Academy. You still work at A Southern Season.
I do.
You still teach classes at A Southern Season.
Yes.
So your focus is wine.
It is.
Deep in the wine world.
Yes.
So at what point did you know that that was the direction, that was your direction?
It's kind of funny because my background is in English and creative writing, and I have a graduate degree in teaching. So I was a teacher. I was a high school English teacher, and I joke often that that led me to drinking very quickly.
I can see.
But the truth is I figured it out very early on in my teaching career when I felt pulled. I loved my students. I loved teaching, but I felt pulled in another direction, which was wine. It started through just reading food and wine magazines. My husband and I were those people that got those subscriptions and read them regularly. And I remember reading an article about Bordeaux, and it occurred to me that this drink that I consumed often and much, I knew nothing about. So I read this article. I didn't know whether Bordeaux was a place or a grape or a type of wine. And I was used to drinking mostly domestic wine, so that are labeled by their variety. So I knew those, but Bordeaux, I had no idea. And so that reading that article sort of sparked this obsession, really, with wine and figuring out this entire world of wine.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Raleigh, in North Carolina, obviously. I went to St. Mary's High School for a couple of years, and I went to boarding school down in Jacksonville, Florida for swimming. I was a swimmer.
Oh, were you?
I was.
Well, so remind me, I want to ask you later if you have a favorite food writer. But before we food or wine writer, before we get into that, I was lucky to bump into you back a month or a couple months ago at the Terra Vita event at Southern Village. And you gave a seminar, one of the sustainable classroom seminars on that Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many seminars that morning, I think 9, 10, something like that. Yours was one of the most entertaining and one of the most well attended. It was a tasting.
Yes.
And you just had a really nice presence about you. And I don't think anybody in that room felt talked down to, except maybe us when the guy sitting there began to debate terroir.
He did. He did. But as a teacher, I appreciated his enthusiasm and it sparked an interesting conversation, which is one of the best ways to learn.
So. Well, it did. It tickled me that this woman in the back piped up and began to defend it. And it turns out she was your mom.
It was my mom. Now it's outed. Well, my mom is a chemistry teacher. And so she's very passionate about all things related to science and studies. So she jumped in there. She's a little she'll speak up. She's not a quiet lady.
Well, are all your classes structured like that? Because it was a very nice it was a very general, started out very general, and it felt like there was no intimidation factor.
Mm-hmm.
It felt very, very comfortable.
Well, thank you. That's a good thing. That's the aim with the classes. The way they're structured at Southern Season and the way that I've taught them in people's homes and at other seminars I've done, I try to – sometimes they're a little bit more formal than that because people have wine in
right.
front of them. That was in a theater. But I try to – the first thing that I like to do is let people know that wine is not about snobbery and it's not something that should be intimidating. So I try to structure them that way. I think people feel comfortable the minute that you tell them that – wine is about learning and,
mm-hmm.
and romance and terroir and all these wonderful things. And you don't start throwing vintages and things that are usually intimidating to people. The biggest problem is that people they aren't able to describe what they like. So one of the things that I like to do when I teach is help them figure out that very important thing, figure out what they like and
what
how to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to to help people not feel uncomfortable about wine.
All those adjectives.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
It helps to be an English major with the adjectives.
Well, it does. I mean, who knew? You know, I have to say that there's something that I taste sometimes in wine that almost tastes like paste.
Huh.
And I think it's a heavy tannin.
Could be.
I mean, it's sort of a back taste. And maybe I was a paste eater back in elementary school or something.
That's true. That could be it. It could be the tannins. The textural feeling is definitely the tannins. I think that's one thing people struggle with is what does acidity mean? What does full-bodied mean? What does a highly tannic wine taste like in comparison to a wine that has low tannins? And once you get that basic language down, people would be surprised at how well they can describe wine. Because
I think that's true. And I think one of my great joys, and when I sort of felt like, oh, my God, I've arrived, mm-hmm. there was a point where I was able to recognize the differentiation between a different berry in a mm-hmm. wine and a citrusy flavor in a white wine.
Right.
And I think closing my eyes helped.
Mm-hmm. I think it does because it closes things out. That's why I like to have people, when they learn about how to taste wine, to taste blind, not because it's this scary thing, but because you have a lot of preconceived notions about what you like and what you don't. And if you don't know what you're tasting, you're much more likely to describe it in the way that you actually taste it,
right?
As opposed to how you
think you're supposed to taste.
If you know that you have a Merlot in front of you and you have something against Merlot, you'll describe it in a way that you would if you didn't like it, or you might. But I don't like people to know what they're tasting because then they'll describe it as they think
it's supposed to.
Yes.
Well, that was one. We did that day. That mm-hmm. was a blind tasting. I mean, is that most of your classes are
yes.
like, that's really a good way to do that?
I do. I do that for the basics of wine tasting at Southern Season, and it works really well. Sometimes people can guess what it is, but sometimes people are surprised. One of my favorites to do is an unoaked Chardonnay.
See, that one got me.
Mm-hmm, people always associate Chardonnay with oak. And it's not the grape; it's how it's manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to have that aha moment for people.
Well, you certainly taught me not to. I've kind of debunked Chardonnay for a while. I mean, it's not one of my favorites. I'm much more. I like minerally mm-hmm. Wines and citrusy and drier, mm-hmm. sharper wines, but. You know, I appreciate being able to sort of stopped in my tracks to say, no, you know, you're not being fair.
Yes. Well, in a hopefully a friendly way.
Yes. So we're going to go. We have to go to break in a second. And before we go, tell us real quick. You have a class coming up at a Southern Season.
I do. It is on December 15th, which is a Thursday. It's at 6 p.m. It's actually an advanced tasting course. We've done a few basics classes and they've had a really good turnout. So we're opening it up to a more advanced tasting, which is going to cover sparkling wines, fortified wines, some more different styled wines that you might not be used to.
You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360 WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller, and I am here today with my guest, Mary Margaret McCamick, and we are talking about wine and teaching and classes, and we talked a little bit about the class you have coming up at a Southern Season in December, mm-hmm. But you're also involved with the Chef's Academy. So what qualifies you to teach?
That's a good question. The first thing that's important is I actually have a master's degree in teaching from UNC Chapel Hill. I bleed Carolina blue. Yes. But secondly is wine. And one of the biggest things when I lived up in New York and I worked in I worked at Balthazar in New York, and I got into some importing and distributing up there. But I kept studying. I'm a student of wine. I think that's my life forever.
Well, you're a good one.
But I started studying at the International Wine Center, which is it's a it's a classroom really that fosters education. They there's a program called the Wine and Spirits Education Trust, the WSET, and it's one of many programs that provide professional education in wine. So there's intermediate level, the advanced level, and then the diploma, which is this 2-year massive program that involves blind tastings and paper writing. So I sort of worked my way through the program, and I just completed the diploma in June of the summer. I found out in September. So I have a diploma in wine and spirits.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you very much. So it's really that, and then I guess the main thing that qualifies me is that I love teaching. I love helping. I love seeing people get something. And so instead of doing restaurants or retail for the rest of my life, I really do want to be a teacher of wine.
Well, so you said you teach creative writing. Do you write about wine?
Well, we do a writing class at the school because the students get an associate's degree in culinary studies. They have writing classes and they have math classes and things like that. So we do a writing class that I've geared towards culinary studies. So I always like to make it relevant. We read restaurant reviews. We read things by Ruth Reichel and Frank Bruni.
Uh-huh.
We read things by Anthony Bourdain. They love that.
Yes, I guess they do.
And we read just a ton of things that relate to food. And I don't integrate wine as much. I haven't yet. This is the first time I've taught it, but I think I will in the future. But they love – I hope they love reading about food and, you know, helping them be stronger writers for their professional career.
Well, so I told you that in the first segment I asked you a question. I said, don't let me forget to get back to that. Do you have a favorite food writer?
That's hard. That's like asking me a favorite wine, because I have
it
so
is
many.
Hard.
But I do. I like. I have to go old classic. But I love Jancis Robinson. She's sort of that, you know, the wine writer of the female wine writer. She writes a lot of textbooks and mm-hmm. things. She writes the Oxford Companion to Wine. But she, I like reading her website, and she just has a really great way of writing, but she's among many. I love her style. I like reading Frank Bruni. I love Ruth Reichel.
Yes, I do too.
Yeah, she's a beautiful writer. So
she really is.
Oh, those are a few. Yes.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So, the classes that you teach mm-hmm. at the Chef's Academy, there are wine classes as well?
There will be. So the students began.
What's the curriculum like? Mm-hmm. If I went over there to enroll.
Well, you would have to want to get an associate's degree.
Okay.
So it's a program where it's an accredited culinary school. So they take mostly culinary classes. They take some food safety classes. They do food service math. They do a wine management course, which is the one I'll do. There's a front of house management course, which either myself or some of the other chefs will teach. But it's a huge range of things that they study, and already, you know, 2 months in, 3 months in, it's phenomenal. They do.
So this is the first year?
It is the first year. It opened August 8th.
And where is it located?
It's in Morrisville, North Carolina.
Okay. So if you're driving to Morrisville, where? I don't guess I know Morrisville very well.
Well, it's off of, to be specific, exit 283B. But instead of going towards Raleigh, you sort of, you turn right off of there. And it's in Perimeter Park.
Okay.
So it's a good place for a culinary school. It's fairly accessible, and there's, you know, plenty of parking. It's not like Chapel Hill.
How many students are there?
Right now we have close to 100.
Oh, wonderful.
But it's a cohort. So every 10 weeks, new students come on.
Okay. So when they graduate, when these kids graduate, mm-hmm. they will be qualified to work in kitchens.
Absolutely.
So it's
sort of model. I mean,
is it like Johnson & Wales?
Yes, it is. There's not a 4-year program. It's an 18-month program.
Johnson & Wales is 4-year.
I think it can be. I would have to research it. But it's an associate's degree program, and they have an associate's degree in culinary studies. So it's a great thing for the area. We need people who have been to school and are passionate about food. Mm-hmm. And I can say that the students there most certainly are that. I'm amazed by them every day. It's inspiring.
Oh, my gosh. Are there scholarships and stuff?
There's certainly things. I would have to ask more questions about that. I think that there may be. I don't know the exact answer to that.
What's the staff like over there? Is it the professor, the teachers?
Oh, the teachers. Well, they're mostly chefs.
Okay.
I think everyone there that's a teacher right now is a chef. And they're fantastic. They're people that love helping students learn and get into food. I think it's one of the most positive places I've ever worked in. But, I mean, you're working around food and wine all day. So it's pretty hard to be sad when you're doing that.
It is.
Yes.
Anything that involves popping a cork.
Yes.
Yeah, how could it? So do you – what are your dinners like at home? I mean, do you carefully select a bottle of wine?
Well, I have the great pleasure of having a husband who is a graduate of culinary school. He went to the French Culinary Institute. So typically I'm just drinking at the table while he's cooking.
Preparing.
But we do get into detail a bit about what we want. It's mostly me. I can be very moody about the wine I'm in the mood for. So my husband has to adapt his dishes to what I'm in the mood for.
Is it fair to ask if there is a wine you just do not like?
It is fair, but I always – it's not that I'm dodging the question, but I think if you have a well-made wine put in front of you, there's certainly things that I'm not in the mood for or that aren't my favorites, but I appreciate almost every wine. I think that everything has its place. Even, you know, people bash White Zinfandel. I personally don't drink White Zinfandel, but there are lots of people who like it, and if it's well-made, if it's balanced – then, you know, your favorite wine is the one you like the most. So I'm dodging the question a little bit.
Yeah, even after I asked it, I tried to think, did I have an answer to that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I tend to have a lot of prejudice against really, really sweet wines.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's because those were the first wines I drank growing up. I think my first wine was Matus.
Right.
And
yeah.
Followed by people. Blue Nun and mm-hmm. and that sort of wine. But
I think there is the perception that the most sophisticated wines are dry wines, but there are lots of amazing sweet wines in the world.
Well, I almost let time run out from us. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360 WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller. I am here today with Mary Margaret McCamick, and we have a short segment, and you have got your horror moment. And
I do.
I can't wait to hear this.
Well, it's... You know, I think everyone who's worked in the industry or worked in restaurants has made probably many mistakes, but there's some that are more entertaining than others. The worst thing that I can think of is it was my first job waiting tables in New York City, big restaurant. I worked at Tribeca Grill, and I had just finished training, and I felt so nervous about carrying martinis to tables. And of course, I had a table that ordered 4 martinis. And of course, they were friends of not just the owner of the restaurant, but of the entire restaurant group of, you know, the Myriad restaurant
uh-huh.
group. So not only were his friends there, but he was there standing by the table chatting and having a fun time. So I come over with my 4 martinis and I get through 3. And I'm not sure whether I was bumped or whether I just panicked and the tray slipped. But the next thing I know, there's martini over this gentleman's jacket. Luckily, it was vodka, so it wasn't like a glass of red wine. But the martini glass tumbles to the ground. I'm so red, picking up the pieces. I managed to actually cut myself, which I didn't realize till later. But fortunately... Drew Newport, who's the owner of this restaurant, he's a very kind man, and he just asked me what had happened and was I okay, but the shame and the horror of that first
never leaves you, does it?
It doesn't. I think about it now, and it's. But hopefully, my story will make others feel like you can make a mistake and still succeed.
You know, you can, and you. Let's just say you were pushed.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with he bumped me. He bumped me.
I would go with that. And there are, you know what? You have to look for the silver lining in things like that.
Right.
And you did. Thank God it wasn't red wine.
It wasn't red wine.
Tomato juice.
Right.
Or something that would have lingered. I mean, it's kind of okay to smell like a martini if you're a man in a suit.
It went with the mood of the evening, perhaps. But
I mean, there are restaurant owners who would have tossed you.
I did not lose my job.
Yeah, that's great.
I worked there many nights after.
That's great. Well, how long were you in New York?
My husband and I were there for close to 2 years.
Is that where y'all met?
We actually met as undergrads at UNC in a creative writing class. Daniel Wallace's class, actually.
Oh, well, that's a good one to meet. That's a good one.
Yes. He was wonderful. We loved the class. We met there, and then the rest is kind of history. But we went up to New York together. He went to go to culinary school, and I went to work in wine. So,
oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I bet it's fun in your house.
It is. We try to have a lot of fun.
Do you have dinner parties and stuff?
We try. We both work a lot.
Yeah.
Where does he work? He helps out at the cookery. He's the education coordinator there. So he teaches classes and helps others.
It's
in Durham. It's an incubator. It's a culinary kitchen.
Oh.
So small businesses that don't have their own kitchen can rent space. So he does that, and he's a butcher at Whole Foods, actually.
Oh,
so
nice. Here or in Durham?
In Chapel Hill.
Do y'all live in Chapel Hill?
We do. Well, we live in Carrboro.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, we love it.
Well, thank you so much for coming and talking with me. Will you come back?
I will. Thank you for having me.
This has just been so much fun, and I'll be in touch with you because I do want you to come back, and I really can't tell you how much I enjoyed that class.
Oh,
that
thank
day.
You.
That was, except for the fact that I spilled wine on myself.
Well, it happened.
Whatever. I can't fire myself.
Yes.
Thank you very much. You've been listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
Thanks for listening to Side Dish. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Side Dish is an exclusive broadcast of News Talk 1360 WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's News Talk and Tar Heel Station.